Show Me the Way is the title of today's sermon. Show Me the Way. So you and I, we don't know the way. Only God knows the way. Somebody say, only God knows the way. Show me the way. So, amen? So when we say show me the way, it shows that we are telling God two things. First of all, we are powerless. And the second of it, we are telling the person that knows the way to show us the way. These two are very, very important. I cannot know the way and still go to you and say, show me the way. Or else I'm being sarcastic. Right? If I come to you and say, show me the way, it's because I think like you know the way. Please show me. We have come to God to show us the way. This way is the way of our lives that we are talking about today. Because we don't even know what will happen after today's service. By the time we step out of here, we don't even know what may happen. So it's only God that knows the way. He knows the right route that will benefit you and I. So we cannot sidetrack God. We cannot put God aside and think that way. Because somebody walking through this way, we have to walk through that way. The journey of a life may be different from mine. We have to wait on God, you and I. It doesn't even matter if God took me that route yesterday. It may be a different route for today. So we always need to lean on God, depend on God, and call unto Him, please show me the way. There are always temptations when we want to pick a way. Okay, there's always a temptation. But you will not regret it if you commit your ways unto God's hands. Okay? There will always be temptations for a journey of life. But if you commit it to God's hands, you will not regret it. I said something. I said, you will not what? Say it. What did I say? You will not what? You will not regret if you commit your ways to God's hands. For young ones, you don't know what is ahead of you. You have like 60 years ahead of you. You don't know many things. You only know what happened today or yesterday. So, but I am telling you this. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. You will grow old. You will have gray hair. Never forget what we are saying right now. Once you commit something to God's hands, you will not regret it. So it is very important that anything, any stage of your life, always learn how to commit it onto God's hands. Somebody listening to me. Always do what? Always commit your life, anything about your life, onto God's hands. You will be at the point of making decisions in your life. The kind of job, the kind of spouse, the kind of discipline, education. We all make decisions in our lives. You will grow up. It's always a stage after a stage. So nobody can be pushed aside from this message. But always learn that you must always commit your ways unto God's hands. Can somebody tell me how we can commit our ways to God's hands? Through prayer. God bless you, ma'am. Through prayer. We commit our ways unto God through prayers. Amen. We pray, right? People of God, yes or no? Do we pray? So you pray. When you pray, you are telling God, I know you can do it. Listen, there will be temptation that will come after you have committed God something unto God's hands that will be telling you, maybe not. You will tell God, you will still be thinking about it as if you want to help God solve that problem. But once you come to the consciousness of this, tell yourself, I already committed it unto God's hands. He's going to take care of you. I pray that the Lord will take care of your problem, your issues. He will take care of your circumstances. As you commit things unto God's hands, the Lord will be taking care of them for you. The Lord will be addressing situations for you. In the name of Jesus, you will never be alone in your situation. You will never be lonely in your situation. You will not be abandoned. You will not feel lonely. I am repeating it again. You will not feel lonely over your situation. The Lord will make Himself, His presence known to you. You will feel the presence of God. Even when you don't see human being, you will feel the presence of God that is around you over your circumstance. And as you have this consciousness, solution will be coming your way. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What to watch out for when you are committing your ways unto God's hands? What are the things that you need to watch out for? You need to be careful of as you commit the journey of your life unto God's hands. I section them into three. The first one, watch out for your mind. Somebody say, my mind. Listen, we have our mind. As a human being as you are, you have a mind. I have a mind. So your mind will be telling you stuff. Watch out for your mind. That everything is popping up on your mind does not mean it's right. Always know that. Your mind is a battleground where the devil and the spirit of God operate. If God wants to talk to you, in most cases, He will speak to your mind. If the devil wants to manipulate you, He will go where? He will go and tamper with your mind. So be careful of anything that comes to your mind. Weigh it critically before you make a decision. Weigh it critically, prayerfully. Because your mind is a marketplace. Not anything that drops there you have to pick. Somebody listen to me. Even as a child of God, understand this principle. The second one is signs of desperation. Am I talking to somebody? If anything in life is like pressure on you, I don't care who it is. People that are in business, they understand what I'm talking about. If I want to sell something to you, I'll be telling you, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. In fact, test it now. See it, I'll go to test. Don't you see that's a big bargain for you? That if you get this thing, it's going to be beneficial for you. In fact, you will not regret it. Why am I putting pressure on you? Because before you start to kick in, your common sense kicking, you will buy it from me. Most things that we buy today is because of emotion. Right? Oh, it's attracted to me. But after you sleep over it, or you spend some time thinking about it, clarity comes. You decide, I have something better I'm supposed to think of, or I'm supposed to buy. Another option is a better option. But because of pressure, and we jump on it, our decision may be erratic. So be careful of signs of desperation. If something is coming on you, like water is flowing, it's a sign that you have to watch out. Amen? Am I talking to somebody? Sign of desperation comes from the devil. It does not come from God. Elijah, when God wanted to speak to him, Elijah was on the mountain. He had earthquake. He had big winds blowing. And God was not there. When everything became silent, he just had a very tiny voice. Much more tinier than my voice right now. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? God is never rushing. God gives peace. He gives joy and satisfaction. Listen, you may have more money than me, and I may have more peace than you. So, as children of God, understand how God operates, because it's going to be beneficial for you. Always let peace reign in your decision making. It may take you time. Hallelujah. I will have to believe all the hard words here. You understand what I'm talking about. You know the difference between the time you were rushing into making a decision and the period that you took time to make your decision. Third one is Satan. When Satan came to Jesus and he was tempting him after the 40 days prayer and fasting, what was Satan doing? He was telling him, he was talking to him. The Bible said, and Satan came to him. But people, when they analyzed it, they said it was not a physical presence of Satan. It was a spiritual presence. It was the battle of Jesus' mind. Do you know how many times this devil has come to knock your door and you don't even think it's your thought? No! The devil comes in a way, in a language you can understand. That's how he speaks to you. And he was tempting Jesus. He said, you must be hungry. You've been fasting. You're a big guy. Anointed child of God. You are a man of authority. Whatever you say, authority. In fact, just command this stone right now. Listen, if you look at it from the face value, is it a bad thing when you are hungry and you have authority to make stone become bread and you eat and you satisfy? Will Jesus hurt anybody? I don't think so. No. But Satan was manipulating Jesus, wanting him to abuse his power. So, Satan is very deceptive. The more you understand your enemy, the better you become. You don't need to be afraid of Satan. You just need to understand Satan. Satan is very deceptive. This guy is not a human being. It's an angel. It's a fallen angel. He used to be God follower. He understands the concept of God, how God operates. He has some power. He can appear and disappear. You are not Satan. You don't compare me or your friend with somebody that you call Satan. No, Satan is a being that is different from you. He knows how to manipulate situations. So you need to understand him so that you can avoid him, so that you can conquer him. That's how Jesus overcame Satan. You win by thinking, understanding the approach and the concept that your enemy uses so that you can counter him and stop him and don't allow him to achieve his goal. Hallelujah. Children of God, higher ground is for you in Jesus' name. We say, show me the way. That's what we are talking about. I want to drop this with you today. Don't wait for a quick result. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this. Don't wait for a quick result. Wait for God's timing. When God gives you something, you will never regret it. Don't wait for a quick result. But let's go to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, we'll read from verse 21 to 23. It says, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall break from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. It happened at the womb. This time around, you can't blame it on your born children. And when Rebecca wanted to know the reason why she was having so much trouble, she could not sleep. These two fetuses were fighting each other. She went to ask of the Lord, God, what is happening? And they told her, you have two opposing nations. And God said, the younger shall be greater than the older. Hasn't it been said already by God? But when they were born, Jacob wanted to manipulate the situation, putting laws into his own hands. Deceiving his brother, selling his brother birthright, deceiving his parents, and also doing all kinds of things that led him to all the crises that I initially mentioned. To the extent that his own children deceived him, he cried to the time, to the extent that he could not see anymore. He got blinded as a result of the deceit of his children. He could not walk straight. The man only survived because of the blessing of Abraham. And why? Even though it has been said in the beginning that he's going to be the greater one. But because he took loss into his hands, he caused trouble to his own life. Children of God, when you allow God to help you, you will be gratitude. Amen? That is why it's not every battle you have to fight. That is why, you see, like we heard on the Sunday school, that some people will go to the mountain and be mentioning the name of Sister So, Brother So. First of all, it's very wrong. Because you think like that person is your enemy, it might even be somebody else. So by doing that, you are sinning against God. And if you are causing someone that is not caused by God, that means you are causing yourself. So a lot of things are wrong. So even borrowing from that example, bringing it to what we are talking about, when Jacob did what was wrong, he brought crisis to his own life. Even God has already declared him a blessed person in the beginning. Let us be careful. I want us to read the next passage, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 to 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 to 21.
Get all the advice and instruction you can, so you'll be wise the rest of your life. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail.
Thank you. You can do what? You can make?
You can make many plans,
but
the Lord's purpose will prevail.
Thank you very much. God bless you, man. I want you to relax in the hands of the Lord. Relax in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell God, please show me the way. There's nothing wrong in desiring something. But thinking that what you desire is what must come to pass is the wrong thing. So God, I want you to show me the way. Let your will be done in my life. Even sometimes because we have committed our ways to God's hands and we made mistakes, because we have committed to God's hands, the Lord will direct our feet path, for our feet back to the right path. Because we are asking the guide to guide us. That is why we say we are committing unto God's hands. We are telling God, God, I don't know the way. Show me the way. And this is the habit we are talking about today. Have the habit of saying, God, please show me the way. I should not be desperate for money. I should not be desperate for position. I should be desperate for the will of God. Because God knows the way. So that you are asking God to show you the way, doesn't mean that all the steps you will take will be perfect. But because you are committing things into God's hands, the Lord will be redirecting your path. That is why we are children of God. And that is why we are calling unto Him to help us. Amen. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desire of your heart. I want you to say after me, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I want you to say after me, I will delight myself in the Lord, and He shall give me the desires of my heart. Amen. Psalm 37, 4 to 6. Now we continue reading. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the new day. Amen. Yeah. Commit it to God's hands. Commit it. Commit it. Commit it. You know, it's actually a good thing. When you commit things to God's hands, the stress is reduced. You do less job. You let God do the FT one. I'm committing it to God's hands. I'm committing it to God's hands. I'm committing the future of my children to God's hands. I will still teach them the way of the Lord. I will still tell them, I will still guide them. But there are some things that God can do that I cannot do. I don't know what may happen on December 31st, but I'm committing my future into God's hands. Commit, commit. Commit, let Him take care of it. Commit it. So make it an habit of God by committing everything about you unto God's hand. I want you to say, I am committing my family. I'm committing my children. I'm committing myself. I'm committing my home. I'm committing my education. I'm committing my career. I'm committing my life unto your hands for you to take care of. Take care of it for me. I commit them unto your hands. Take care of them for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you shall get good results in the name of Jesus. Listen, money I do not have, but God I have. Right? Present situation I cannot handle, but God I have. Hallelujah. I remember many people don't forget their past. I don't forget my past. I know where I came from. I know the environment that I grew up from. Commit your way. Do I have any power to influence anything? No. But when you commit things into God's hands, God take care of you. Delight yourself. I delight myself. At least you can say that boy, that is how he used to be when he was young. I was never perfect, and I'm still not perfect either. But people that knew me, they will tell you that boy is always like that. Amen. Let's move forward. How can we cast our fear unto God? The first thing is, remind yourself of your decision to trust God. Amen. There will always be something that happens in your life that want to shift your balance, that want you to lose your focus. Right? Maybe you were praying that you passed that exam and you did not get the result you are expecting because you don't have money to pay for your bill, because this, that. Something will always try to challenge you. But so what I'm telling you right now is always tell yourself, I have committed my life into God's hands. The Lord will do it for you. The second thing is, pray and fast. Something is very powerful in fasting, even much more powerful than prayer. When you fast, that thing has authority. Something work with fasting. And now let's combine it with prayer. Prayer and fasting. As you commit your future into your hands, put it into prayer and fasting. Amen. When you put fasting, God listens. He listens without obstruction. And even when you are praying, everything about your prayer goes to God. You cannot be fasting and having bad thoughts when you are praying. Because everything comes together and says, I'm hungry, I'm not convenient. So you don't relax to do the unnecessary. Fasting is very important. And another advantage of fasting is, it helps the Holy Spirit to operate. I'm not saying starve yourself to death. Eat when you need to eat. But fast to put your body under check. And also to allow the Spirit of God to pass the message across to you. Hallelujah. Lastly, Jesus Christ asked us not to worry. How can you commit things unto God's hands and you are still worrying at the same time? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Yes, ma'am.
Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Thank you, man. God bless you. Do you get the lesson? Don't worry. Don't worry. The Lord will make it to happen for you. Sometimes things are not working because we worry. Because when the Lord sends his angel to come and help you, he sees doubt, he sees worry. Then the angel go back to God and say, he's not ready yet. Let us allow God to help us by stop worrying. Hallelujah. This storm will not swallow you. It will not kill you. You will be at the end of it to testify to the goodness of God. Amen? Listen, the worst thing that can happen to anyone is what a human being does to you. Animal cannot do to you. And I want to tell you today that it's God that made a man, that made a woman. So, it cannot do the worst. Whatever I consider as worst is nothing in the presence of your Creator. God has the final authority. Stop warning. Okay? If the law is in their hands today, and they use it against you, they have the power today to oppress you. They do everything to work to your disadvantage. It's because God is not ready yet. If God is ready, he can remove anybody, even from the face of earth, for your sake. Stop worrying. Just committing sin to God's hands. The Lord will fight your battle. You will win. Not just win, you will win big. In the mighty name of Jesus. You see those people that collided to laugh at you. They will go and bury their heads in ashes. They will go to hide themselves from one closet to another closet. Because by the time your glory shines, nobody will be able to stop it. That is your testimony. But I want you to stand up and give me a confirmation today that from today on, I commit everything about my life to God's hands. I will stop worrying. Tell yourself, I said today, I receive the spirit of strength.
I receive the spirit of confidence. I receive the power of the Lord to stop war. Let them run, they will come back to power. Let them abuse, let them, they will come back to apologize. Let them use their power, they will come back to become reduced to nothing. Because I am committing my life unto God's hand. Father, I receive your grace to stop worrying. From today, I gain my confidence that I am a winner, I am not a loser. I will win and I will win big, and the name of God of heaven shall be praised throughout my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, now we pray. I will pray for you, people of the Lord. I will pray. I will join my faith with your faith. Because sometimes our faith can be shaken depending on what is in front of us. But when we pray together, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. He said, the prayers of righteous men avail much. We are praying together. Join your hand with somebody, people of God. Let somebody come over here and join hands with me. I want us to pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are not people that bow our heads in shame. We are not people that bow our heads in regret. We stand in the name of Jesus. Confidence of God come to us. Boldness of God come to us. Stability and joy of God come to us. Our peace and joy do not depend on money. They don't depend on physical resources. They don't depend on people, not anybody. Our confidence is in God. So we claim our confidence. We are winning and winning. We are on a winning streak. Winning and winning and winning. In the name of Jesus. Anything in front of us challenging us, we have the key right now. And we know our key is to tell ourselves, I have committed my life unto God's hands. And we say, you, that challenge, we silence you. We subdue you. We crush you under our feet. Agitation is not for us anymore. Fear is not for us anymore. Depression is not for us anymore. Sorrow and sadness is not for us anymore. From now on, we are confident. We are strong. We are bold. We march forward. We rule. We dominate. We succeed. And we prosper. And we glorify God. This is our heritage. This is our testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.